ready, Joe?
Yeah.
What about now?
Nope.
Are you ready now?
Yes.
What about now?
No.
You gotta make me laugh. I'm grumpy.
This is the you've had a grumpy week. I mean, you had a busy week last week, so it's semi-explainable at least. But
planes, trains, and automobiles, man.
Yeah.
Drained you.
It does drain you. I agree. Yeah.
Two weeks on the road. I'm tired.
It'll do that to you for sure. And then you come home to the late version of fall, which is just gloomy.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first part of fall in Ohio is like, is there anywhere else to live? It's gorgeous. It's wonderful. But then the second half of fall hits and it's just cloudy and
cold.
Yep. Time change hits.
You know, I need to go put
this is supposed to be an encouraging podcast.
Can somebody call the president?
I feel like they keep trying to do that. I felt like 2 years ago, I thought they announced that they were getting rid of it.
You know, I was reading an article about it, and it's basically like theaters hate it, but like golf courses love it. And so it's whatever lobbyist or – and like 30 states or something like that don't do it.
Well, it's all wonky. Well, the funny thing is, too, is the time that everybody likes is daylight savings time.
Yeah.
So the normal time is what we have right now because it's November. It's after that change. This
spring
is normal
ahead
time.
And leave us.
Yeah. So everybody wants the alternate, not the norm, which is, I mean, I actually agree. It's just, yeah. Of course, my wife enjoys having the hint of daylight when she drives to work as opposed to like the pitch black.
Mandy, you're ruining it for the country.
She is the lobbyist.
she
alone is.
Is
making sure that
she
we still have.
She probably is.
Oh, my gosh. Well.
Well, that's a mixed message,
that's
Joe.
A mixed message in and of itself. That's a question that you can submit here at bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. What's your thought? I'm just kidding. Oh, I don't want to be that kind of podcast. Anyway, speaking of this podcast, this is today's episode of Mixed Messages with Jeffy Bogey, and I am Joey Carusoe. Actually, I don't like any of those, so let's not do that ever again. But we are glad you're here. With so many voices out there, whether it's the news, social media, even comedians and friends, it is tough to know what to think or how to make decisions. But we're going to help you sort through the noise and think through things in a way that allows us to cut through the mixed messages around us and find the way of Jesus. So let's get into it. Jeff, this last weekend at church, so for our listeners that like Thursday hits, I'm checking out the episode, we just started a series called The Enemy's Playbook.
Yep.
And kind of diving into this whole idea that there is a spiritual war out there, there is an enemy, he is trying to destroy us, but as could be predicted, this just opens up a flood of questions.
Yeah, for sure.
Because this is not something that the typical person has regular conversation about.
Right.
And so we wanted to take a few questions that we actually received in real time this week and just hit through some of those.
Yeah, it'd be great.
So the first one, Jeff, I'll just ask it this way. Can the devil read your thoughts? Is there a way for him to get in your mind and be able to know what you're thinking and then try to help influence it through those means?
That's a great question. So let me back up a step.
Okay,
so,
cool.
So this series, The Enemy's Playbook, is just trying to help us get our head around the idea that the Bible is very specific that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spirits of the heavenly realm. And so the whole idea that it is a spiritual conflict that we live in, what the Bible would call a battle, or sometimes we call it spiritual warfare, and that there is, that Jesus is real, that God is real, and so is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible refers to the devil as Satan, the devil, the evil one, the god of this age, Lucifer, like all these kind of different terms that are all describing the same thing. And we said this weekend, in fact, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. Pastor Josiah did the opening message on it.
Mm-hmm.
We said that the devil is real. He is a angel or a spirit. Like if you think of demons or angels, the devil is a beautiful angel. His name's Lucifer, who was rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven. And his main playbook is that he deceives, he schemes, he accuses, he lies. All these different descriptions of what the Bible says the devil does. So just as like a footing, you may want to go back and if you haven't listened to the message,
mm-hmm.
it'd be a great thing to fill in. But that's what sparked this podcast is what we're going through. And we're going to kind of hang out there for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. I think I do 2 weeks. I think you finish it.
Then. I think you do three and then I finish it.
Yeah. Oh, I got a three? Oh, my word.
But who's counting?
Oh, my goodness. Don't make me do my day job. So I guess I do three and then Joe finishes it. So the question is, can the devil read thoughts? And the answer to that is no, he cannot read your thoughts, but he is a student of humanity and can even be a student of you. So the devil is not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. So no. He is not like God, who knows everything, is everywhere, and does all that simultaneously. He is like an angel. And when you read accounts of the angels, they will interact with humanity occasionally. The Bible is very clear that there's a spiritual war between the demonic and what we would call the angelic. But those demons and Satan himself do not have all the attributes of God. So Satan cannot read your thoughts, but he has 10,000 years of human history. He's an observer of human history. He is knowledgeable and he is intelligent. And so he can kind of predict human patterns, and he can certainly knows how to manipulate, to lie, to tempt, and to affect and harm humanity. So you have to think of it that way. So, like, I think, you know, Joe, like, we would do this all the time. Like, I've been a pastor for 32 years. You've been a pastor for how long?
20.
20 years. So if I said to you, Joe, between now and the first of the year, what's attendance going to be like at church? What are the patterns going to be? Where are the kids going to be at? And what can we predict? We can actually state that from experience observation pretty closely.
Yep, absolutely.
I like to always joke around that in the fall, we're talking about the weather earlier. Like in the fall, the nightmare scenario for me as a pastor in the fall is if it's Saturday and it's sunny and the Buckeyes have the late afternoon game.
Uh-huh.
It's the trifecta, because people will look and say, it may be the last time we see the sun until March. Ohio State's into like the good parts of their schedule where you don't want to miss a game. And it's Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is cuts against the grain of things anyways. So, like, I know that,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And because I can observe that. I don't need to read your mind, because I kind of know the way you think.
Sure.
And so we have to know that about the devil. He knows that we would have weaknesses with our pride, weaknesses around issues of sex and sexuality. We would be drawn to security and money, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. And he would be looking to tempt us and humanity in those places. Anything he can scheme up to draw us away from God.
Yeah. Now, I think one of the next questions actually, I think, dovetails into that, because I do think sometimes I don't think people mean this literally, but they certainly say it like that the devil himself or Satan himself is like after me, or he's tempting me. And that leads into the second question, is some people believe that the devil is a physical being that literally roams the earth. So I'm going to ask a double-edged question. One, is the devil a physical being that's actually roaming the earth? And then two, is the devil messing with our listeners individually?
Yeah. No, he's not a physical being. He's a spiritual being, mm-hmm. but he is the God of this age. And he does have rulership over the earth, so he has dominion over it. So you have to think of him as a spiritual being. Can he present or can he deceive physically? I would say maybe not him, but his demonic forces would be more likely to do that, mm-hmm. where you might see someone who's demon-possessed.
Sure, yep.
Can he tempt or draw us away? One of the things the Bible says about the devil is that he masquerades as an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about horror movies or exorcism movies, it's always fascinating to me that there's a religious overtone,
mm-hmm.
to many of those movies. You're talking about The Exorcist or The Nun or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
these creepy movies. The devil is less likely to present or have his demonic forces present to you that way as he is to use those kind of things to make you numb to spiritual things. Mm-hmm. So the devil is not usually looking to scare you. He's looking to entice you and deceive you. So the Bible says that Lucifer was the most beautiful angel that God ever created, and his pride caused him to think, I should be God instead of Jesus. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so that's why he rebelled. A third of the angels rebelled with him, and he was cast out of heaven. So those portrayals of the devil are false. The cartoonish portrayals of the devil mm-hmm. are false. I would be less worried about that than I would be what the Bible calls the schemes of the devil. So the scheme of the devil would be, can I get you to accept a close substitute as opposed to a far-off one? So when we think of something being of the devil, we would think in terms of like there's the Christian Bible and then the Satanic Bible. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the probability of you picking up the Satanic Bible? It's relatively low in comparison.
Right.
So that's not going to be the biggest temptation. The biggest temptation is going to be, instead of Jesus as your Savior, you just need to be a spiritual, well-balanced person. And that is a substitute for the gospel that's very palatable. Mm-hmm. Nobody would really disagree with that.
Yep.
Nobody would be really offended by that. But that would be part of the wide path that would take you to destruction. So the devil's not like roaming around trying to get you. There are demonic forces. They are real. They do show up in people's lives. But I would argue that's probably not his main play. Mm-hmm. His main play is deception.
Yeah.
And his main play is a false alternative. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what you're going to run into before anything else.
I think it's, I'll use the word hilarious, that actually in your explanation, you probably described one of his schemes in that. If he can get you to think that he only shows up like he does in the movies, and then you start downplaying, well, since I've never seen somebody turn their head completely around, or I've never seen this crazy thing, then that stuff must not be real.
Right.
And suddenly he's used the portrayal of himself to get you to downplay who he is.
That's a perfect little scheme. Mm-hmm. If I can make you think I'm this, then you're not looking for the other thing.
Yes.
You know? And that false choice is what destroys people, because I mean there are people who like worship the devil and they're Satanists mm-hmm. and you know witches and warlocks and all those kind of things. That's not the average person. The average person is going to worship the dollar,
right?
And they're going to show up at church and throw some money in the plate and call that following Jesus. And Jesus warns about that. He's like, there's going to be many on that day. And he uses the word many, mm-hmm. many on that day who say, Lord, Lord, and I'll look at them and say, I don't know you. Mm-hmm. Paul talks about people who have a form of godliness, but it has no power. Well, that's a much more dangerous scheme mm-hmm. than burning a pentagram on your front yard.
Yeah.
Or, you know, causing your sister's head to spin around while she vomits pea soup, which is The Exorcist.
Sure.
You know, that's the one I'm the most worried about. The others scare us. Now, people who have hard hearts and want to rebel against God, they certainly go into the occult.
Sure.
That's a real thing.
Yep.
It's just probably not what you're going to run into. Mm-hmm. That's more something that people run to themselves. Mm-hmm. It's not the first play of how the devil would tempt you.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible how we can like shove those things off and then assume that the things that we struggle with aren't spiritual. just because I want to achieve or make more money, that doesn't mean it's demonic. Well, is it? You know, like there's some real questions that we could probably even ask ourselves and certainly pray about. Now, some people believe that spiritual warfare, it doesn't really matter because it's not our fight, it's God's. I think on the positive end of that, you could have like, well, God's already won the war. We live in victory. God's, you know, it's a spiritual battle, so God's taking care of it. I don't have to worry about it. Like, what is our role in spiritual warfare? Like, is it just something that God has covered and we just go about our daily lives, or do we have a place in it?
We definitely have a place in it because we're the Church of Jesus Christ, the body of the bride, the representation of Christ on earth. And so we definitely have a place in it. I think sometimes we think in terms of our place in it is like we are the exorcist. We are the ones who do deliverance. You know, we are the ones that call out the demon. And that is usually not what's going to show up in your life in an everyday way. There is demon possession, and it has to be dealt with from time to time. So I'm not trying to say that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to say that's probably not what's going to show up in your life. The reason why that God talks about spiritual warfare and says so clearly that our battle is not against flesh and blood is that we need to have an awareness of it so that we understand what we're dealing with people. So, for instance, if I take addictions and I make addictions about my childhood wounds and my self-esteem and my willpower, I will never be free from addiction. Mm-hmm. If I take abuse and I make my abuse about being emotionally healthy, mentally healthy, and a balanced individual boundaries going forward, then I will never be healed of that abuse. And so that's why the Bible says, no, it's flesh and blood. If I think politics is going to correct the morality of a nation, mm-hmm. If I think pornography is a self-will battle, not a spiritual one, mm-hmm. If I think that the election and the unelection of political leaders is not something that God's involved with, because the Bible says he sets up kings and he takes them down. If I think that the Middle East is a geopolitical issue as opposed to a biblical spiritual warfare, then I actually, as a Christ follower, I won't read the world right. And therefore, I won't respond to it right. So I'll give my soul to electing the right school board and never pray.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I will give my my relationship with my neighbor to getting them to agree with me on what to vote on, and never dive into their eternal condition. I will look at the weaknesses in my own life and think, I need to get my act together. I can't. Therefore, I live in guilt and shame, and I'll hide my sin, and I'll hide my addictions instead of turning them over to God and confessing them to other believers who will help me go with it. Mm-hmm. So I will approach the world completely differently. Now, do I need to go around and cast demons out of everything? Well, there's probably not demons in anything. Your car probably didn't start because it's a Chevy, right? Your TV didn't, your internet didn't work because you have Spectrum. Mm-hmm. It's not because there's a demon in it.
Neither of those companies sponsor us, so it's okay.
Your child is probably acting up because they need to be disciplined. Mm-hmm. You probably don't have a Jezebel spirit. You probably don't have a healthy relationship with your husband. Mm-hmm. So that that's what I would believe, because you did see the people in the Bible, you saw the apostles in Jesus, so you saw demons being cast out. So I'm one who believes mm-hmm. that there is a demonic world and it has to be dealt with and it can be dealt with. So there you will see demons cast out. But mostly when you saw the Apostle Paul, especially writing to the churches, he was talking about dealing with their own sin. He wasn't talking about the demonic. So as he was setting the church up, he wasn't like, there's a pastor, there's an apostle, there's an exorcist.
Right.
Right?
Right.
He emphasized it differently. And a lot of the miracles and things that we see in Scripture, God allowed to give credibility to the apostles and Jesus. So there were evidences that we can trust what they write because God worked through them in a powerful way. So,
yeah, one of the things that's shown to us in the Scripture is the evil that tempts us. Sometimes it's demonic or satanic, as you're saying. Sometimes it's the cursed culture that already lends itself towards the evil. And then sometimes it's what Paul calls is the flesh, where we have a battle raging within us. Like our flesh desires those things, and Galatians talks about giving yourself over to the Spirit and he'll help you overcome those evil desires. And so, like, to your point, not everything we're ever tempted to do is, well, that must be a demon. It's like sometimes it's just us. Sometimes we haven't been disciplined in something. Sometimes we haven't been trained up or coached in something. Sometimes we're deciding to do a thing that is rebellious to God, and it's not because of a demonic force. It's because we've chosen to give in to that side of the battle.
Yeah, the devil doesn't need nearly his help as much of our help as we think he does, because we have Paul says a battle raging within us mm-hmm. between the old man and the new man. What Satan does is aggravates that and tempts it and leans into it and. Mm-hmm. And puts his thumb on the scale, you know. So, like, if I struggle with overeating, Satan puts out a buffet. Mm-hmm. He doesn't hold me accountable. If I struggle with drinking, Satan is going to be like, well, here's five new bars on your corn. Yeah, he's going to tempt us. He's going to work with us that way. But my sin nature is all I really need to make that play out.
Right.
And my sin nature is what God has dealt with through the sacrifice of Jesus and his resurrection and the Holy Spirit within me, convicting me, guiding me, giving strength to me. And that's where the Bible says very clearly that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
You're looking
I literally
at verse
just looked up
right now.
1 John 4:4, which yeah. is that verse. Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
So that's for the believer, like for the believer, you would be much stronger spiritually, so to say, if you focus your energy on what it meant to walk in the Spirit mm-hmm. as opposed to what it meant to deal with demons.
Yes, 100%.
Because that struggle is the struggle. Satan tempts, he steals, he kills. Now, was Adolf Hitler demon-possessed? Probably. You know, was this mass murder demon-possessed or influenced? I'm like, probably. Does the Charlie Manson, if you're a student of history, have a real satanic occult and they attacked and killed people? Yeah, they said that. Mm-hmm. Right, I'm taking them at their word. Is my fight against sugar a demonic issue? No. It's a every craving I have and that God has put into me is meant to draw me to God, not to draw me to sex or sugar or money or whatever it is. And when I am not drawn to God, the Spirit of God within me mm-hmm. is the one who empowers me to go that direction.
Yep. So there, We've obviously talked about a couple of verses there. 1 John 4:4, you just mentioned. We talked about Galatians. But honestly, a lot of our conversation has been in Ephesians. You mentioned the leaders in Ephesians 4. And then Ephesians 6 is where Paul really gets into this spiritual warfare thing. And when he talks about putting on the armor of God, what he's talking about is what you're nailing. Is like, if we run to the truth and the peace and the hope and the security and the righteousness and the faith of God, then we're set up to face this battle that comes our way.
Yeah, what he says is he's like, in Ephesians chapter 6, he's like, you need to stand against the schemes of the devil. Mm-hmm. So put on the full armor of God.
Yep.
And it's the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of truth, the shield of faith. And we could go through all those maybe in another podcast. But he says, this is what causes you to... The shield of faith, for instance, extinguishes the flaming darts mm-hmm. of the devil.
Yep.
So it's becoming more like Christ and deeper in relationship with Christ that is the big defense mm-hmm. against the spiritual warfare. It's also the offense. I always, when I talk about the armor of God, the armor of God is defensive and offensive. So a shield is defensive and it's offensive. If you look, because you also, Paul uses the analogy of the sword of truth. If you look at a soldier, the reason they defend with the shield is so they can strike with the sword. Mm-hmm. So it's not a hunker down because the devil's going to get you. It's a, this is how you do combat, mm-hmm. so to say, with the evil ones. And it's with his schemes. It's not how you combat demons. Mm-hmm. It's with his schemes and his flaming arrows, his arrows of accusation, shame, guilt, being unlovable, all those kind of things, that you fight those things back with. So I think that's the big thing with it is I'm going to Christ. I'm being strengthened through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God by Christ. It's then that the devil loses his power in my life, and even then that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the onslaught of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you go looking for a demon behind every corner, you will live a paranoid, fear-filled life. If you run into a demon, you have power through the Holy Spirit to have authority over that demon. And if you're scared or confused, this is where you have elders and shepherds that can help with that. What you're going to run into the most is a counterfeit of what is true, mm-hmm. right? And when you run into a counterfeit of what is true, that counterfeit can kill you. My dog, Brutus, I love Brutus. He's about 150 pounds now, but he's a puppy. So I had him out yesterday because I've been on the road. So I hadn't seen him for a while. So he was so excited to see me. So he's jumping up and down. But I'm like, you can't jump on me, Brutus. You'll kill me, right? So I'm playing with him. And he's not the brightest. And he's got kind of like bad eyesight. So he likes to play fetch. But he often can't find whatever I threw for him. So think of it this way. If I'm playing fetch with Brutus, you know what those Kong things are? Uh-huh. Those like rubber things are kind of like... a little pyramid thing, but they're a dog toy. I could throw a Kong, and Brutus would go get it and bring it back to me. It's his favorite game. I could also throw a hand grenade, and he would pick it up the exact same way and kill both of us. Mm-hmm. That's more apt of what you're going to run into, where you think this is innocent. And this is natural, but you're actually grabbing something that's going to kill you. One of the best examples right now in our culture of this is porn. Mm. The average boy sees his first pornographic image when he's 7, the average girl when she's 11. So it has become, porn has become a part of our life for boys and girls. Mm-hmm. And when something becomes a part of your life, you get used to it. You actually evolve or adapt your life around even that thing. Mm-hmm. And you think it's, you know, kids are curious. You got to explore your sexuality. You know, it's part teenagers are teenagers. You think it's innocent when it's a hand grenade. Mm-hmm. and it will blow your life up and it will blow your relationships up. It actually is more addictive than cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
That's more likely what you're going to run into than a demon-possessed guy running down the street. And I'm not saying that they don't exist.
Right.
And I think there's probably a whole other conversation down that pathway that I don't want to go down right now. But kind of for like the everyday, so to say, person trying to follow Jesus, that's what you want to keep your eye out for. It's the schemes, it's the distortions, it's the deceptions of the devil that are his most reticent tool that he uses in our lives.
Yeah. Whew. Well, there's a lot there, and that's exactly why those questions were coming in, and that's also exactly why we're teaching on it. This won't be our last of these conversations, but if you have questions that you'd like us to tackle, especially around these topics, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. Send them our way. We'd love to get into them. We'd also love to hear how these conversations are helping you, so make sure you let us know how we can continue to serve and help you in all these different ways. If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure to subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you at Grace this weekend as we continue to run after Jesus. So thanks for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.